leaders agreed Sunday to provide major resources to Lebanon to help it recover from last week's massive explosion in Beirut that killed at least 158 people and injured about 6,000 others. But they gave no figure of how much money they would send. The leaders met by teleconference at the request of French President Emmanuel Macron. Macron said the assistance should be timely, sufficient, and consistent with the needs of the Lebanese people and directly delivered to the Lebanese population with utmost efficiency and transparency. The world powers insisted on transparency in how the aid is spent, as many Lebanese view the government as corrupt. The world leaders are also concerned about the influence of Iran through the Shiite group Hezbollah. The world leaders, including U.S. President Donald Trump, called for an impartial, credible, and independent inquiry into the blast. Some Lebanese citizens have called for a revolt to overthrow their political leaders. The White House said Trump called for calm in Lebanon and acknowledged the legitimate calls of peaceful protesters for transparency, reform, and accountability. In addition to the pledge of new assistance, the U.S. has sent emergency food, water, and medical supplies to Lebanon. Washington has pledged more than $17 million in disaster aid for the country. The massive explosion of a warehouse full of ammonium nitrate left some 250,000 people homeless. The rebuilding of Beirut could cost billions of dollars. The United States has passed the 5 million mark in terms of numbers of coronavirus cases. That's more than any other nation. The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation has released a model predicting nearly 300,000 more deaths by December 1st, if 300,000 deaths total by December 1st, rather, if Americans don't start wearing face masks. VOA News. The Japanese city of Nagasaki has marked its 75th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing, with the mayor and some survivors urging world leaders, including their own, to do more for a nuclear weapons ban. At 11:02 this morning, the moment the bomb was dropped all those years ago, Nagasaki survivors and others stood for a moment of silence to honor the more than 70,000 dead. The August 9, 1945 bombing came 3 days after the United States dropped its first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, the world's first ever nuclear attack that killed 140,000 people. On August 15th, Japan surrendered, ending World War II. Belarusians hit the polls today to vote in a presidential election in which opposition candidate Svetlana Tikhanovskaya is challenging the five-term authoritarian president Alexander Lukashenko. Tikhanovskaya, who is a 37-year-old stay-at-home mother, entered the race after the May arrest of her husband, opposition blogger and presidential hopeful Sergei Tikhanovsky. She promised to free political prisoners and called for new elections. Her husband was charged with attacking a police officer and organizing mass unrest and has rejected the charges as provocations. Although Tikhanovskaya lacks political experience, she's a teacher, she quickly emerged as the country's top opposition figure, Lukashenko's strongest challenger, with tens of thousands of Belarusians supporting her bid. Election officials registered her, perhaps not thinking that she was a contender. They refused to register two other presidential challengers who are male, one a former diplomat and the other an ex-banker. They were both jailed. Lukashenko has been in power since Belarus declared its independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. Many Belarusians oppose what they call his autocratic rule and criticize his handling of the coronavirus crisis. Sri Lanka's former president, Mahinda Rajapaksa, on Sunday took the oath of office as the country's prime minister for the fourth time. President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, Mahinda's younger brother, led the swearing-in ceremony at a prominent Buddhist temple on the outskirts of the capital, Colombo. The Sri Lanka People's Front, led by the brothers, secured a nearly two-thirds majority at last week's parliamentary elections that would allow them to make constitutional changes and strengthen the family's rule in the country. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton from Washington. You're listening to VOA News.